to sleep in my car for 2 weeks in San Francisco. And I eventually went to the ER. They did not want to test me for COVID because they said, well, it's been 2.5 weeks. There's no point of giving you a test. Now, I reached out to Uber, I reached out to Lyft to see if they were willing to help me get a test. They did not help me at all. The fact that I am at multiple grocery stores, I do about six runs every day, 7 days a week. It is very scary. And I'm super afraid of what's going to happen if myself or my daughter were to suffer serious health issues because of COVID. And the fact that very little seems to be getting done in regards to the platforms that make so much money from us.
You were just listening to Chris Benner from the Department of Environmental Studies and Sociology at UC Santa Cruz and the Institute for Social Transformation. You were also listening to George Gonzalez, a driver for Instacart and Uber. We're talking about gig work and essential workers during COVID-19 on today's Making Contact. Make sure you keep up to date on our shows and get behind-the-scenes information on our website, radioproject.org.
Early in this hour, we incorrectly identified the number of homes and structures impacted by recent wildfires. The fire has impacted 1 million acres, not 1 million homes, as we incorrectly stated before. Up-to-date information on your wildfire risk can be found online at wildfire.oregon.gov. Thank you for supporting KBOO, and stay safe.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the CWC Walk-In Expungement Clinic on Friday, September 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. at the Northwest Cannabis Club in Portland. The CWC Walk-In Clinic provides assistance searching for jobs, expunging records, and connecting to community resources and volunteer opportunities. Again, that's the CWC Walk-In Expungement Clinic on Friday, September 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. at the Northwest Cannabis Club, 1195 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, this is Emma with Transpositive PDX, and I want to take just a minute to tell you why I love KBOO. KBOO is a great radio station. Not only does it give voice to members of the transgender and non-binary community, it holds up the voices of people of color. It's the station to go to find out what's going on with Black Lives Matter and what's happening within the community. It's also the station that carries Democracy Now!, and it's a station that has great music programming, from bluegrass to international to local music scene. KBOO is the station to go to, and we've been here for 50 years. KBOO is a great radio station. You can hear it all over Portland, and you can hear it over a lot of Oregon too. It's a real gem. It's community supported. It has thousands of members who give to KBOO, and I hope that you'll become one too. If you haven't given already, I hope that you'll consider giving now during our pledge drive. I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCrute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Hi, this is Emma with KBOO Community Radio here in Portland, Oregon. And tonight we are producing Transpositive, a transgender and non-binary radio that uplifts our community. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
And my name is Nicolette, and I use and them pronouns.
So tonight we've got a really great show lined up with Amir from Transpose. We're going to be talking to Amir about the all the amazing work that Transpose is doing this fall season and their call. But right now we have Trans in the News with Nicolette.
All right. So tonight I'm going to be reading an article about an attack on a group of trans women that happened in Los Angeles recently. What is the date on this article? August 28th. So this is recent. Two men suspected of robbing and assaulting a group of transgender women in Los Angeles have reportedly been released without charges being filed. Carlton Calway, 29, and Willie Walker, 42, were briefly detained in connection with an August 17th attack on Eden the Doll, Jocelyn Flawless, and Jasleen White Rose. The three women were waiting for an Uber on Hollywood Boulevard when Calway, Walker, and a third suspect, Davian Williams, 22, threatened to kill them unless they forfeited their belongings, including jewelry, phones, purses, wallets, and shoes. The women were harassed and chased down the street as a crowd of onlookers watched, many of them reportedly egging on the violence and hurling transphobic slurs at the victims. White Rose was allegedly beaten with a bottle and knocked unconscious. Eden Doll says it was absolutely the worst day of my life. Even though the extensive video footage was captured of the event, Calway was released from custody on Tuesday and Walker was discharged Wednesday. Detectives with the Los Angeles department reportedly worked with members of the local LGBTQ plus community to identify the alleged assailants, and it's unclear why the suspects were allowed to go free without being charged. Williams has yet to be arrested. He faces charges of assault with a deadly weapon after allegedly throwing an electric scooter at the victims. Coinciding with the suspect's unexpected release, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office has declined to press hate crime charges against the assailants after claiming it needs further investigation to move forward. Once the investigation is complete, the case will be reviewed for filing consideration, a representative said in a statement. A detective described the case as temporarily rejected in a recorded call, which Eden the Doll posted on her Instagram. She says, even with the video footage, all the signatures, everything that's happened the last week, that's not enough evidence. The popular YouTube star asked in an 11-minute video clip posted on Monday. This just not, the article continues, in addition to the video evidence submitted by suspects, over 200,000 people have signed a change.org petition urging that all of the men involved and responsible for these inhumane acts of violence be arrested, interrogated, and charged for assault, robbery, and attempted murder. A GoFundMe campaign, which has raised more than $45,000 for the victims, also called for justice. On the call, the LAPD representative remained hopeful that the assailants would be held responsible for their crimes. The unnamed law enforcement official stated his belief that the evidence already submitted is enough to file criminal charges against them. The DA that was assigned this case feels that he needs more time to review the evidence, he said. Now, whether that's typical standard procedure, I don't know. An anonymous source told the Los Angeles Times that the case has been reassigned to Robbery Homicide Division, which the publication stated normally handles high-profile cases. The incident was initially assigned to the Hollywood division. Local LGBTQ plus advocacy groups, which had been assisting in the investigation, called for greater transparency and accountability from the LAPD. At a time when transgender women of color, and especially Black transgender women, are being violently assaulted and in many instances murdered at vastly disproportionate rates, this decision cannot go without further explanation, said Tara Russell Slavin, Director of Policy and Community Building at the Los Angeles LGBT Center, in a statement. Russell Slavin added that the organization would continue to raise its voices of protest until our questions are answered. The incident has garnered national attention at a time when violence against transgender people, particularly trans women of color, is at near historic highs. 27 trans people have been violently killed in 2020, according to the Human Rights Campaign. One more death would match the total number of trans killings in all of last year, with 4 months still left to go. Okay, so yeah, I think there's quite a lot to discuss here.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first read this story, I think the part that like really caught my attention right away was as they were being beaten, the way that the crowd responded to them. But I didn't know about this stuff about them being released. I thought, I can't, that's just, that's crazy.
It is. And I mean, think it really goes to show that trans people are experiencing institutional systemic oppression as well. I mean, even the judicial system is not on our side.
Yeah. Oh, it's just such a terrible story.
It really is.
I think the only good thing about the story is that 200,000 people signed the petition. That's great.
Yeah, at least that is a start. But I mean, that is just crazy that we have video evidence of these suspects attacking these women, and yet they were released without even being charged.
Yeah.
There's no reason that's what happened.
It sounds like they have lots of evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bad year.
It has been a bad year. I think that's, you know, like it says at the end of the article, I mean, this is historic, a historic high in assault on trans people, and particularly trans women of color this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, we're only in September, or I guess this was technically published in August, and we already have had about as many brutal killings of trans people this year as we did last year.
Yeah. Maybe things are going to start to turn around now.
I hope so. I mean, I like you said, it is promising that, you know, so many people signed this petition. At least it is a step in the right direction, but it is very concerning that not only did this happen, and not only did witnesses, you know, egg the attackers on and throw all these transphobic slurs at the victims, but, you know, these suspects are just being released without being charged, when not only were there many witnesses, but video evidence of exactly what happened.
Do you think that the outcome would have been different if it had been white trans women who had been attacked?
That very well could be, and who's to say? I mean, we're dealing with a time right now where people of color, especially Black people, are being particularly targeted, and at the same time, trans people are also being targeted. So there's a huge intersection with those two that are very vulnerable right now. Trans women of color, I think, or at least trans people of color, are very vulnerable right now, are being particularly targeted, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Trans Positive PDX here on KBOO Community Radio. I think we're going to just about wrap up this segment. Nicolette, is there anything else that we wanted to share about this?
I think that's about everything, unless there's anything else you wanted to comment on this.
I mean, the article just speaks for itself so well.
It does.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, and I'm glad that, you know, I wanted this to be discussed, so.
All right, we'll be right back with Amir from Transpose. From the Good evening. You are listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. And my name is Emma. I use she and her pronouns. And I'm here tonight with Amir from Transpose. Amir, welcome to Transpositive.
Thank you so much for having me, Emma.
Thank you. And would you like to say your name and your preferred pronouns?
Absolutely. I'm Amir Shirazi. I use they, them, and theirs pronouns. And I'm the artistic director for Transpose PDX.
Great. So we have you on tonight because we wanted to talk about Transpose. A lot of people know about Transpose, but a lot of people also don't. So let's start at the beginning. Tell me, what is Transpose?
Yeah, Transpose PDX has been around for about 3 years now. We have two choirs, Transpose Community Choir and our a cappella group Accord. We serve the transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming community here in Portland. So our Transpose Community Choir is a non-auditioned, all levels welcome choir where we get together and we sing and we make music in a pretty unique non-binary choir structure. All of our music is chosen and arranged by choir members. We select music that we feel is timely and relevant and personal to us. We have weekly rehearsals on Tuesday nights. And what's really great about the Transpose Community Choir space is it's a unique space where folks can have the freedom and flexibility to play around with their voice and try different voices. Parts, whether it's on one song from week to week, trying different parts or playing with different parts within a given rehearsal. And we don't use gendered language like soprano or bass or things like that in our music. We craft our music in a way that can hopefully affirm and support everyone wherever they are on their vocal journey.
Oh, great. So that's the choir, and then is there another part?
So that's the community choir Transpose, which is non-auditioned and accompanied. And then we have our a cappella group Accord, which has traditionally been our performance outreach group. We've performed with Accord at various choir concerts, fundraising events, community events, and all sorts of different places. Currently, Accord does not have any auditions right now, just during this virtual setting, but Transpose Community Choir and Accord are both rehearsing online via Zoom, everyone's new favorite platform, to sustain our community and not just sing and make music and affirm our voices, but also have a community and have a structure of support for connection, for mutual aid. Just combating this feeling of isolation that is such a part of this pandemic right now. And so it's my greatest honor and joy to be a part of this choir community where we can work to fulfill, support, encourage, empower trans folks, and make sure every voice is heard in a time when that's a challenge.
Yeah. Could you tell me how Transpose got started? Is it the first transgender choir in the country, or is it how did it start?
Yeah, it's not the first transgender choir in the country, but it's one of only a few. Transpose PDX is part of Gala Choruses, which is the Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses Network in North America. And so that's a really large choir network, and we're about one of four trans-identified choirs that are part of that. But there are a couple others across the nation. The closest one to us is either down in LA or over in Colorado, depending which way you go. But Transpose PDX got formed about 3 years ago. It originally was just a small a cappella group. From there, the interest was so great and so high that we kind of just grew into an additional community chorus. And it's just been growing steadily and steadily ever since, as folks have heard about us or tried this out.
What are some of the issues that are unique to a transgender choir? You mentioned earlier that you don't use traditional choir terms like alto or soprano. So that sounds like one thing. Are there other things about a transgender choir that are specific to a transgender choir?
Yeah, being a trans singer in a non-trans choir and then in a trans choir are just two very different experiences. And I'll just speak on what it's like in terms of singing with transpose. But what we really strive to do is create an environment where no matter where a person is on their vocal journey, whether they are brand new to singing, period, whether they are singing with a voice that's new to them, whether they are affirming or exploring a voice that they have, that we find ways to fulfill everyone and really empower everyone to make their own choices. So like I was saying, folks have the flexibility and are encouraged to switch voice parts here and there between songs, between rehearsals. We provide practice tracks for folks to aid them because everyone's got a different level of experience and a different entry point into music. So we both have sheet music and also vocal practice tracks that we're working on. And just getting to sing music in a space where we are all part of one community and we all identify the same way, and there's no, and there's this freedom of judgment from historical practices and from cisgender spaces and folks where we get to play around and explore who we are and what we sound like and tell our stories and center our experience. It really just comes down to centering who we are as people and all of our practices. And that ranges on everything from what we've done for concert attire in the past, which we've always framed for our singers as dress as your best self in whatever way fulfills and empowers you, right, to be your best self. There's very little that we do that is a blanket statement across all singers. So there's a high degree of individualization for each member to be supported in who they want to be and how they want to show up.
It sounds like a great performance lab for kind of exploring the intersection of different kinds of expressions of gender identity.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about the voice because since transpose is a transgender choir, one of the issues that people in the trans community deal with a lot is how their voice either changes or doesn't change. And we've had a lot of folks on over the years on Transpositive talking about the voice. But as a member of a choir and as someone who works on a project that specifically empowers trans and non-binary folks, the issue of the voice must come up. I mean, for folks who identify as transmasculine, if they're on hormones, if they're on testosterone, their voice is changing, it's getting lower, getting deeper. For folks who are trans feminine, who maybe identify as trans female or somewhere along that spectrum, unfortunately, if they are starting hormones later in life or any time post puberty, their voice doesn't change that much. I mean, there's things that they can do to make the voice change, but there's a lot of dysphoria within that community. And then for folks who are non-binary, you know, it's a different kind of issue. So you're basically working with like these different kinds of groups all working together. How does that work in reality? Does that work out well?
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing that works, but it's a thing that is a constant journey, right? What we're doing is we're subverting the idea that to sing higher means to sing with a feminine voice to some extent. And the thing is that there are so many unique and individual goals that every person has in this choir that for some folks, they have a really high voice, high in pitch, and they have a high register and they want to sing there. And that may not be correlated to their identity, but some folks do take hormone therapy and some folks change. Some folks have different goals where they want to sing in a different voice. And so part of what we do is we say, okay, if you have the highest voice part in the song, that doesn't mean that you're a soprano, that doesn't mean that you're a female identified person, but rather we call our voice parts usually like voice one, voice two, voice three, where the higher the number, the lower the part is. But also in a lot of our songs, we just say the function of the voice part. So we'll say melody, harmony, foundation, descant, and we'll use terms like that to kind of talk about how the voice part is functioning in the song. And folks will have the opportunity to sing in different octaves as is appropriate for their voice or that feels appropriate for their goals. So part of it is just reframing how we think about the voice. And then another part of it is that flexibility, right? So trying one voice part, depending on where your voice is that day, and let's say you're on T and your voice is lowering or your voice is in flux, depending on where you are in that journey, then trying different voice parts. We talk a lot about theory and health and technique when it comes to the voice in the beginning of our rehearsals and kind of like our warm-up section. And we're gonna be focusing even more on that. One of the blessings, if you wanna call it that, of this virtual setting that we're in is we kind of have a little bit more time in some ways, and we can kind of hone in on our goals. As an organization, I'm trying to build affinity spaces for folks who are taking tea and are wanting to lower where they're singing, and folks who are singing a new voice part for them or stretching their voice. It's I wish there was a one-size-fits-all answer to your question of like, oh, this is the secret to solving all the questions that are out there. But it's for me, I look at each individual choir member as an individual. And part of what we're offering is like unique check-ins with each member. So myself, I would be checking in with each choir member and saying like, what are your goals in singing? How can I support you in what you wanna do? Sometimes they don't have any goals. They just wanna show up, they wanna sing, they wanna make friends, and that's great. But sometimes they're very specific about, I want to sing in the lower part of my range. I want to expand my range in one direction. Or I want to sing everything. How do I sing everything? So it's just about kind of tailoring our approach to everyone. That feels like a cop-out answer, but it's...
No, it's not. I mean, you know, I mean, I have to be honest, like, so as an interviewer and as a host, and also as a journalist, I tend to approach questions on transpositive from my framing and from my understanding as a journalist. So I'm always going to ask questions that like I feel like are really relevant to whatever the topic is at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also taking my own particular bias, which is hard not to do into the interview. So when we're talking about the voice, I mean, it's just, it's really interesting because... you know, for folks who identify as trans feminine, which I do, you know, let me give an example. Okay,
sure.
Today I was at Rooster Rock. I was there all day. I had literally no one question my gender identity. I mean, I was there all day. I was very comfortable. I was all over the place, and people saw me the way that I want to be seen.
Yes.
You know, but when I get on the radio, and people hear my voice. Oftentimes they're like, oh, that's, you know, a person that I'm not going to use the gender, but they think that that's the gender.
Hi, this is Emma with Transpositive PDX, and I want to take just a minute to tell you why I love KBOO. KBOO is a great radio station. Not only does it give voice to members of the transgender and non-binary community, it holds up the voices of people of color. It's the station to go to find out what's going on with Black Lives Matter and what's happening within the community. It's also the station that carries Democracy Now!, and it's a station that has great music programming, from bluegrass to international to local music scene. KBOO is the station to go to, and we've been here for 50 years. KBOO is a great radio station. You can hear it all over Portland, and you can hear it over a lot of Oregon too. It's a real gem. It's community supported. It has thousands of members who give to KBOO, and I hope that you'll become one too. If you haven't given already, I hope that you'll consider giving now during our pledge drive. I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. And that's because for folks who are trans feminine, who transition after puberty, it's really difficult to change your voice. I mean, you can do it, and there's ways to do it. There's also surgeries that people can do, but most trans feminine folks have this issue of struggling with the fact that their voice is always going to kind of be in a lower register, and that's a point of vulnerability. It's not just a point of vulnerability from like the position of dysphoria, but also it's also a point of vulnerability from the expectation of violence, which trans women especially feel very, very keenly aware of all the time. We're very aware that being someone who was AMAB and who transitioned to, you know, trans feminine is a position that is very vulnerable for violence, for people who have this hatred of trans folks. So the voice is a place where, for a lot of trans women, just like with everything else that we're doing, we're trying to use our voice in order to protect our identity. So we're using our voice, for us, a voice is a place of safety, but it's also a place of extreme vulnerability. And so then to go to join a choir where it's really, I mean, you can get into those upper registers as a trans feminine person. And, you know, some of it depends. There's lots of factors. You can get there. But, you know, that's kind of where you feel like you want to be. Like if you've been raised with this binary, this expectation of a binary, which a lot of folks who are transitioning, honestly, that's where they're going. Especially trans feminine folks. I don't know. I can't speak so much for trans masculine, but we're going towards that place. And so our voice is something that we're really concerned about. And so I can see how it might be a little bit of a problem, but I can also see how, like, if you flip the script and turn it upside down, because I met so many trans women who are like, I can't use the word because you can't curse on radio. But if I did use the word, it would be like, beep that. I'm going to use my voice and just talk how I please. And I'm going to sing how I please too. And I think that it's interesting, like when you come to that place as a trans person, like where you're just gonna accept your voice, whatever it is, and you're just gonna go and sing, and you're gonna be happy and live your life and just love yourself. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a really fantastic point and talking about safety and specifically with like voice, what's called often voice feminization. And yeah, I 100% hear what you're saying. In our choirs, we focus less. It's tempting to want to just, you know, like you, to borrow your words, flip the script, and then say, you know, we live in a post-gender world, your voice is your voice. But at the same time, part of what people's goals can be are to use their voice to go about their lives in a way that feels safe to them, to use their voice to match their identity in a way that feels right to them. So what we do in the choir directly supports that, and we do have a couple of really fantastic trans vocal instructors that are part of our choir organization, and something that we're, I think, eventually working towards is building those resources within the choir to kind of provide services around that type of work, voice feminization or things like that. Currently, that's not part of our model, and we have people that we can absolutely recommend in the Portland community who are fantastic trans-identified vocal instructors that work on things like that. And it's this, it's one of those things, right? Because the nature of who we are as an organization, we're a choir, and so we're focused kind of on the whole, on the group. And yet the group is comprised of individuals. So we're also providing that individual attention. But it's one of those challenges, right? So all day long, I can recommend to folks people to talk to, resources to reach out to, and to read and listen to that are specifically around that specific work. And our work supports that. But it's not our primary goal is to work on that aspect of it.
Sure, I understand. Yeah. And then so coming from a different direction for folks who are AFAB, I've interviewed many people who are AFAB and who are singers or performers and had many chances to have really intimate conversations about what it's like to go through the transition of your voice. Yeah. And one of the stories that I hear a lot is I hear like this great joy in having the voice that really matches your identity. So a reducing of the dysphoria, which is great.
Yeah.
And also just people really loving their voice. But I also hear people tell me that they feel sad about losing the range that they had before they started on T. So, you know, it's interesting because I mean, when you have a transgender choir, you have these things happening that like are really great, you know, they're really wonderful, but they also reflect changes that people have, and they're when you sing that happens, doesn't that come up?
I don't know. I mean, like the thing that's really interesting specifically about like let's say taking tea and changing your voice in that direction is that it's so unique to each person, not just on an individual basis, but also on your dosage and things like that. Where some folks, there will be a whole period of time where their voice might be in flux, but some folks keep a lot of their upper range. For some folks, it's not the case, and they'll find like where their voice resonates in their range is going to be different. It's one of those things. It's so unique to each person. Some folks want to sing all the notes and just like expand their range lower, and some folks just want to deepen their voice and only sing there. And it's so unique to each individual. And hopefully what we do with the way that we work on voice parts is by framing the voice parts as this is the melody, this part has a smaller range or sings lower than the harmony part and you can sing it in either octave. It still gives folks the opportunity to feel like they're singing the lower part even if they're singing in an octave higher. And so we try to play around with how can we affirm everyone where they're at on this given day, you know, and that can change year to year, day to day, week to week.
So one of the issues that we always try to make sure to touch on Transpositive every episode is we try to talk about how the work that we're doing, whatever organization we're interviewing, is making itself relevant to people of color. And especially to like the Black trans community. What is Transpose doing to like try to make itself accessible and relevant to people of color within the transgender and non-binary community?
That is such a good question. Transpose PDX as a whole is centered around the trans community by leadership, membership, and admission. We're, you know, like so many organizations and like so many folks are right now trying to figure out where has the gap been and what real concrete things can we do today that are gonna create change, right? The last thing I would ever wanna do as a director of an organization is say, oh, change is gonna be slow and it's hard. Some work is slow, but only because it takes a lot of steps, but you can start taking the steps today, right? So a lot of what we focus on is reducing barriers of entry. And part of being in a virtual term means that you no longer have the barriers of transportation, of time, of so many things that can get in the way. It's something that we're working on. It's something that our board is looking at, our membership is looking at, trying to find ways to be relevant and of interest to people of color, right? The last thing we want to do is just send an email blast and say, hey, come on in and join the party, but not have it be a space that affirms them. And I don't think that I've been thinking deeply and critically about this for a while, especially this summer, right? As organizations are taking big steps, as organizations are reckoning with how inaccessible things have been for a long time. And in some ways, I'm really close to the organization, so I might have a harder time seeing the opportunities, but as a group, we're kind of working together to see what are the points of entry or what are the points of failure that is making it harder for folks to hear about us, join us, stay with us. And that's a thing that I think is really common to a lot of choruses, which is not to say that we have an out to say that it's common, but rather to say that it's a common experience, and that itself is a problem, right? So hopefully we can find meaningful ways. I know I didn't give you any concrete actions, but that's something that we're working on, is developing those concrete actions.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. We're really committed at KBOO to making sure that we talk about this in all of our shows. And, you know, kind of the flip side of that is kind of at least, you know, asking, and of course you don't have to answer this, it's just kind of an on-the-spot question, but what does Transpose do to reduce or to minimize like white privilege and white supremacy like within the organization? Does it take concrete steps to like really be conscious of that and step back?
Yeah, I mean, white privilege, I mean, that contains so many things, right? It contains systems of power, it contains capitalist roots, it contains so many things where they all interconnect. And so what we do is we don't charge our members any dues to participate. It is free to participate. Which is a relatively unique thing among choruses across the nation as a model. We try to work to, we have a pre-pandemic when people were doing things in person, we have a ride share document amongst our members to make sure that transportation is not a barrier to entry, right? So trying to find all of the ways in which systems of power and white supremacy are affecting an organization like ours and saying, okay, how can we get rid of this barrier? How can we work with our singers? Part of that is that all of our work from our board of directors to any of our committees that we have, all of our minutes are transparent and available to all of our choir members. All of our choir members can at any time call out something that they see that they don't like. We try to make things as consensus-based as possible throughout the whole model, and really, I think I said this before, but just really give, really make sure everyone's voice is heard, you know, in every sense of the word, right? Not just musically, but also their voice, their agency, their power, their investment, their ability to change the world around them and to participate in it and to thrive in it. So we try to we prioritize and we encourage trans folks to fill all of our paid opportunities, whether that's our arrangers, our concert technicians, video editors, things like that, because we want to directly support our community and overturn the existing systems of power where trans folks are so marginalized, right? And that's not unique to white trans folks. It's also a part of folks of color. And so it's, you know, the intersectionality of it gets really interesting when you're talking about trans folks, because it's really easy to hyper-focus on just the trans identity. But even within that, we have disabled folks, neurodivergent folks, Black folks, folks of color, and we're working to make sure that there isn't a barrier across all spectrums of identity.
That's great. Thank you.
So how are you surviving COVID? Like just tell me like what happened to Transpose when we were just talking last week that we had on Jackie Mae Stone, and we were talking about the Can Be Transgender Alliance and how the Can Be Transgender Alliance was like gonna have this big event down in Canby. They were gonna like kind of go to the city council and kind of call out the city council because it's been kind of transphobic. And you know, it was kind of like this event that was celebrating all of this great organizing going on by Doc Goodman and folks down in Canby. And it happened literally like the day that the coronavirus broke. I mean, the day that like that guy from Lake Oswego got it, and then the governor like started shutting everything down. And it like, that's kind of when KBOO, we shut down our studios.
Yep.
You know, how did it, what happened to Transpose? What was your COVID story?
Oh gosh.
And how are you surviving?
Yeah. So pretty quickly, right after things shut down, we moved right away to virtual rehearsals on Zoom. And we did that because we felt like there was such a great need for connection, whether it was gonna be 2 weeks or 6 months or a year, right? Just making sure that folks are connected and that folks are exercising their literal and figurative voice. So we went right away to Zoom as soon as things shut down. And we built in a couple of systems of, we created a mutual aid network within our choir where folks could reach out about like, hey, I need a mask. Hey, I need to get to a doctor's appointment that's critical and I can't use public transportation right now. Or just finding different ways to support each other. We to some extent resumed music as normal in a virtual setting, but we focus, I think, even more on what it meant to be in community with each other and to stay connected. And the tool that we used was music, right? Our landscape is music, but really the focus has been on how do we maintain, sustain, flourish our connection during this pandemic. So we maintained our rehearsals. We had online social events. We have had some choir karaoke nights where folks will sing on Zoom. We've had some...
That sounds like fun.
We've had some skill shares. We've had folks lead games of likes categories. We've had check-in times. We had a specific conversation one night in June about allyship and activism and how we can show up in the Black Lives Matter movement. So we had a guided conversation around that. So we've been trying to do a bunch of things to make sure folks are connected, that they're having fun, that Transpose PDX is still relevant, even though one could easily look at us and say, oh, you're a performance group, right? Well, our model has never been that you have to perform in order to be a part of Transpose PDX. Our model has been join us, sing with us, be in community with us, and those of us that want to perform will perform. So we're working on virtual choir recordings where everyone submits a video of themselves singing and we put it together so folks can actually hear everyone sing together, which is probably the hardest part about this experience within the context of Transpose PDX. It's just not getting to hear everyone sing together and to make one big giant voice together, right? And to share the air. So we're trying to find ways around that. But yeah, we pretty much really quickly just flipped the script and said, okay, we're on Zoom, we're gonna make it work. And you know, it involves a little bit of fumbling and figuring things out as we went. But now that we had a summer break, I'm really excited to have a fall term planned out and to say, okay, we learned about what worked and we can hopefully make it even better as we continue virtually.
So in the when COVID first hit and you continued with your practicing and you know all of that, do you perform or do you practice like live together on Zoom? Is everybody like in a little window and they're all singing at the same time?
So the sad thing about the internet is that there's really no great way for folks to sing at the the same exact time because of the latency and the lag. It's also dependent on your personal internet connection, the bandwidth that your computer is using, whether you're on your phone or your computer. There's so many factors involved that it would be, and we tried it, utter chaos to all sing unmuted at the same time. So what rehearsals have looked like, specifically in the spring, was myself and our accompanist would either sing and play, and people would stay muted and sing along. So people are still singing. They're singing with a person, but it's just one person, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a whole choir. But what we're working on now is to have vocal practice tracks that folks can sing with a specific voice to, having singing feedback sessions throughout our fall term so that folks can sing one-on-one with a person or sing and have a group give them feedback and just increase the opportunities for folks to have their voices heard. But it's, you know, it's still hard because we can't sing at the same time. That's the biggest change, and it's a big one.
Can you do, I mean, if you followed OHA guidelines, can you do like a socially distanced singing, like out somewhere, like where you're, I mean, I guess when you're singing, you have to be further apart, but could you be like 20 feet apart from each other? Yeah. Out in a park somewhere, or is that not even really?
There are ensembles and choirs across the country that are playing with this, right? Most of the ones that I've seen are all masked at least 6 feet apart from each other. They're following not only the CDC guidelines, but also there's a lot of research that's coming out right now and that has been steadily coming out specifically around singing and aerosolization and what the risk factors are, because it's none of it is perfectly safe, but there are ways to make it safer, right? Singing outside is safer than singing in an inside well-ventilated space. Singing outside for 20 minutes is better than singing outside for 40 minutes. Singing out, like, there's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
For me and for this organization, we've talked at great length. And the safety of our choir members is our utmost importance.
Of course.
And that's so much higher than performing, right? Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. And so, I mean, another factor is that immunocompromisation affects the trans community disproportionately, right?
Yes.
And also the neurodivergent and disabled community, and that's such a, that we have such a great number of that in our demographic as well, that like it's we're doing what we can to make sure that we're serving our community and not putting anyone at risk. And so one day when we go back to in person, we're going to also make sure that we have some type of online component for folks who need to stay home, whether they just have, you know, a regular cold or whether they're immunocompromised and vaccines aren't perfectly effective or working the way that we think they're going to, or things like that. So we want to make sure that we can safeguard our members, right? So as much as I'm so tempted to say, yeah, let's go to a park and we'll stay apart and all these things, it's hard to justify the potential cost. And
yeah.
So some folks are doing it. We'll see in time if that's successful and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks are meeting across the country. But yeah, for now, we don't have any plans to do any type of in-person component.
Is there any, like, it just, I'm asking some technical questions. Is it easier, like, with Transpose? Could you do, like a small sampling of Transpose to do, like, I mean, like, if you have like 4 people, can you sync up 4 people easier on Zoom than like a whole choir? Or is that not even a possibility?
Unfortunately, even just 2 people singing.
Even just 2.
Is an issue, just because sometimes it'll speed up, slow down, and it's not perfect. But yeah, I mean, Transpose Community Choir is larger than a chord. One thing that we've talked about is, you know, in the future, maybe our a cappella group Accord can rehearse in person sooner, just because we're smaller in numbers and that's more logistically viable. But yeah, just online, there's some people are working on tools. None of them are readily available. And the ones that they are working on, to my knowledge, are incredibly cost prohibitive, right? They're state-of-the-art technology that is being developed right now. So I wish the answer to your question was yes, there's a way to do it so badly.
Like solo performances, it sounds like that's the only option, is solo performances.
Yeah, it's just, it's we are doing our best to mimic the art of choir, but right now we're focusing on the art of singing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the big shift. And choir means so many things. It doesn't just mean singing. One thing I usually say about transpose community choir is emphasis on community, emphasis on choir. It's mm-hmm. both things, right? So we're doing what we can to make music and just focus on community right now.
It sounds like it would be a great time to, you know, work on improving your voice. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's the safest environment to do that, right? And no one else can hear you, and in that way, it's safe, right? You're not vulnerable in that capacity. So in some ways, it's a really great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So we've only got a few minutes left. I just wanted to ask you a few questions. Since you're my interview tonight, what does singing mean to you? Why sing? What does it mean to you?
Oh my goodness. you said we only have a few minutes, so I will not the full version, because mm-hmm. music has always just been such an important part of my life. But for me, singing is the most human instrument. It's such a powerful and evocative way to relay not just information, but also emotion. And so for me, singing is a way to connect, to evoke, to inspire, to create. Singing is my favorite thing to do, and it's my favorite thing to do with others. And it's my favorite tool in my toolbox to use to connect with others.
That's great. What are some of your favorite memories from Transpose from the last 3 years? Can you think of something that you've done in the last 3 years that you were especially proud of with Transpose, or that, you know, you just found to be really amazing that you can share?
Oh my gosh, so many things. So I'll share with you one that happened just today. We, at our concert in January, our in-person concert, we sang a song called Strong Enough by Bobby Joe Valentine. We titled our concert Strong Enough, and we recorded both of our choirs singing that song together. And the song talks about, people can be so mean, people can call you by so many names, but the refrain is, but I know my true name. And we sang that together. We invited the audience to sing along with us. And what happened today was I heard back from the composer of that song, a wonderful queer musician, Bobby Joe Valentine. And he sent me an email today saying that it moved him to tears and that he could feel the energy of the choir and how personal it was, and how proud he was of us singing his song. And just to hear that feedback from someone who's so intimately familiar with their own words and with the message that they're trying to share in the community was incredibly meaningful. That's just the one that happened today. I could easily talk about so many things.
So people, if people want to get involved in Transpose this fall, how are they going to do that? Is it, how do people get involved in Transpose?
Yeah. So folks can join us by finding us on our website, www.transposepdx.org/join, or find us on Facebook at Transpose PDX. We've got 3 open rehearsals coming up starting Tuesday, September 8th. So on the 8th, the 15th and the 22nd. We rehearse online via Zoom. So if you go to one of our websites, you'll find a new member survey where we can get to know you a little bit and know to expect you and send you the Zoom link. And from there, we'll just work on one new song every open rehearsal for those 3 weeks. So no one falls behind and nothing gets repetitive. You can try out multiple nights if you want. And then from there, if you're interested, you join us. There's no auditions. There'll be an opportunity to check in with me individually so that I can get to know folks and learn what their singing goals are, what their goals are for the organization, or if they want to get involved in other ways. So yeah, lots of opportunities to get involved.
Great, thank you so much. And is there anything else that you'd like to share about Transpose, ways to connect or ways to get involved, or is that about it?
TransposePDX.org has a bunch of information on it, on how you can join us, support us, learn more about us, or get involved by volunteering. And so any of those ways are super groovy, and I'm just excited to meet even more folks in the trans community here in Portland.
Well, it's just been such a pleasure having you on Transpositive tonight. Thank you so much, and good luck with your fall season.
Thank you so much, Emma. Appreciate
it.
You too.
Okay, I'm gonna...
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Do you believe in the importance of community radio?
Of course I do.
Then show your support today.